RadioArchives.com presents Red, White, and Blood, An Adventure of Dan Fowler, by Norman A. Daniels, read by Milton Bagby. In the days of J. Edgar Hoover's Untouchables, one lawman took on the super criminals even Elliot Ness couldn't touch. Dan Fowler, G-Man. The greatest FBI special agent of his generation, Fowler operated nationwide, hunting down spies, kidnappers, counterfeiters, murderers, and other dire threats to law and order beyond the jurisdiction of local authorities. Assisted by the youthful agent Larry Kendall and brave Sally Vane, Dan Fowler crushed crime with an infallible combination of scientific criminology and punishing Tommy gun lead. And now, Dan Fowler's thrilling adventure, Red, White, and Blood. Chapter 1. Killer from the Past. The guards around the plain brick building were rarely in evidence, and the only thing which indicated that something important and secret went on behind those walls was the high, closely meshed steel fence which completely surrounded the property and had but one gate fronting the street. People in this small town knew some sort of government work was in progress there, but while they wondered, at first, why a building should be built without a single window, they soon accepted it, and as quickly accepted the somewhat weird people who worked in the building. Many of them were unable to speak English at all when they had first arrived, soon after World War II, and even now most of them spoke with a rich German accent. There were Austrians, too, and Poles and Czechs. Whatever it was they did, they were well paid and had, on first arriving, taken an almost comic delight in buying huge quantities of such things as ice cream, which Americans take for granted. Gradually, however, they came to accept these things just as the town people accepted them. Some had been furtive, standoffish, or even frightened when they had arrived. That was all gone now. They were highly intelligent people, for the most part, not fancy dressers, and they lived quietly, spending most of their time in the building. Their houses were small, neat bungalows, two men to a building, not far from the strange brick structure. It was after 10 one night when a guard swung open the single gate and allowed two men to pass through. He gave them a casual salute, and they walked slowly through the darkness toward one of these bungalows. One of them, Kurt Zoller, was a man of slight build, no more than 5'5". He wore ill-fitting clothes as if he liked them that way. He wore black-rimmed glasses, and his vest bulged with pencils of all sizes, which often made marks on his shirts. He had sleepy eyes, which he blinked lazily under the eyeglasses. His companion was heavier set and slightly taller, but just as carelessly dressed. They looked exactly like a pair of absent-minded professors on their way home from late classes, and not quite certain in which direction their homes were located. Kurt Zoller sighed with genuine weariness.
16 hours today, Hugo. It is too long, but there is so little time.
Yeah, I know.
Hugo Strebel nodded heavily.
And how does it go, Kurt?
Zoller laughed.
You know I cannot discuss my phase of the work, even with you, Hugo. I took an oath to remain silent, and although at one time such an oath would have meant little or nothing to me, now it means everything.
We have changed, Strebel agreed.
It is good, too, that such a thing has happened. And to think that once we were taught that this country should be destroyed.
Destroyed, Kurt? Can you imagine such a thing?
There are those who would destroy it even now, Zoller said. That is why we do not count the hours. It is strange, Hugo, how little things change.
How do you mean?
We once worked for the glory of an invincible man who died in a bunker. Now we work against another invincible man.